In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. The text for our Reformation sermon this morning is Psalm 46, and we'll base our sermon on the verses that we sang in the psalmody, and we'll add a couple of more verses from that psalm in the sermon itself. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear celebrants of the Gospel of Christ, make no mistake, it was a crisis of epic proportion. Would the church proclaim, herald the saving gospel of Jesus Christ? Or would Satan's lie that you could be saved by your works or by money continue to bury the gospel even deeper? Make no mistake, this was not the struggle between one man versus the secular government and the Roman Church. This was a struggle to keep Jesus' promise to Peter and all the church, upon this rock I will build my church, meaning Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We, beneficiaries of Jesus' promise, opened our celebration of the gospel of Christ today with the singing of a hymn that sometimes, regretfully, is so associated with the Reformation that this is about the only time of the year that we sing it. But it's a good hymn for Reformation. It's also a good hymn because this is also the first Sunday in end times. But it's not the first time the church had a hymn with basically these words and this thought. We sang that more ancient hymn, Psalm 46. It's well known that Luther based "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" on Psalm 46 when he wrote "A Mighty Fortress," probably in the late 1520s. But what is the message that both the psalm writer and Luther wanted to get across when they put pen to paper? It is this: God exercises His rule over the world in Christ. If we were to think of Psalm 46 as a coin, it would, of course, have two sides. On one side of the coin, we see God speak about the trials and the conflicts of this life, and the comfort that God's Word gives us in the midst of those conflicts. And then on the other side, engraved on the other side, is the message of that final conflict and the peace that you and I will enjoy at the end of time. There are going to be crises in life because we live in a sinful, fallen world. There are going to be those losses of health and a job. There's going to be those conflicts between parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. You and I are going to suffer persecution and ridicule at the hands of our family members and our friends because of our Christian faith. I don't need to go on because I'm sure you could make your own lists. At times, in the midst of all these conflicts, we might begin to quiver like a little bunny rabbit. A little bunny rabbit that's running from hunters who are trying to kill him. And so he is looking for a place to hide where he might be safe and might be spared. Where can I run to and hide and be safe. Now the psalmist and Luther say, a mighty fortress is our God. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. The Hebrew word for refuge means an impregnable safe place, a mighty fortress, a refuge. Strength is a word that describes a place where a soldier's family is kept safe and sound while he goes out and fights the enemy. God is that refuge. That cleft in the rock where the little crony, a little clony hides and is safe. You and I go to our ever-present God and are safe from those who hunt us, who want to destroy us. We are safe in the strength of our Lord who is always with us. God, the Lord, always will give us our daily bread. He is the Lord of life and death. He has forgiven all my sins for Jesus' sake. God exercises His rule over the earth in Christ. Psalm 46 is a psalm that we might call, for our purposes, a musical history book. The psalm writer beautifully, in general terms, sums up Old Testament history. The children of Israel were fleeing from Pharaoh's army and had their backs up against the Red Sea. Now the Lord delivered them safely through the sea and drowned the army of Pharaoh. The Assyrian king Sennacherib was going to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. And then later, Sennacherib's own sons turned on him and killed him. You can think of many other times in Old Testament history. David, certainly, in his Psalms, talks about many times when he was in danger and the Lord was his refuge and his strength. There may be times in history when it seems as if the very earth is being pulled out from under us. I'm wondering this morning if not a lot of our fellow Christians on the upper side of the eastern seaboard are not feeling a little bit that way today, that the earth has been pulled out, the earth has moved and been pulled out from under them. This coming Tuesday, this country will elect a president for the United States. There are many people who are afraid. There are many people who are wondering in the uncertainty, what's going to happen if this person's elected or that person's elected? We just don't know and are fearful if certain things are going to happen. In many visible churches today, sadly, their leaders, false shepherds, are pulling the earth, pulling the rug out from under our fellow Christians by still telling them lies about the way of salvation, turning them to their own works, to their own efforts, to their own salvation, rather than turning them and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Dear friends, this is nothing new. All those things that are happening today aren't things that have never happened before. But God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And though the earth is removed and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, God is with us. God is exercising His rule over the world in Christ. As we sang, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When Luther and the other reformers stood their ground on God's word, the Lord helped them from every need that hath them then or taken. When Luther had to stand before the most powerful ruler in the world, the most powerful ecclesiastical ruler in the world, the Holy Spirit gave him what to say and kept him safe and sound not only that day but the rest of his life. Did you ever think what a miracle it is that Luther died an old man in bed, safe and sound in the hands of Jesus, confessing his faith? These things are all, as we heard in our gospel lesson for this morning, and fitting in with the first Sunday in end times, precursors of the final coming. They are precursors of the end of time. And not to put thoughts in Luther's head, but I can well imagine that when he was getting ready for the Diet of Worms, he might not have been thinking, might have been thinking to himself, this might be a good time for Jesus to come again. This might be a good time for God to come and rescue me and the church who has remained faithful to God's word. But Luther knew, and we know, that until the end of time, until our Lord Jesus comes, that God is our refuge. He is our strength. And when we become afraid like little bunnies running from the hunter, God has that crack in the rock where we can go. God has that strong river running through our city, the church, the city of God that keeps us safe. Why are the great cities of our country great? Because the founders had the foresight to build them on rivers. Detroit, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, St. Louis, many other great cities in our country are strong and great because they were built on rivers. The psalm writer says in Psalm 46, there is a river flowing through the city of God that gives it life and keeps it strong. And that river is the gospel. That river is the good news of Jesus Christ, the living water that comes to us regularly in word and in sacrament. These are the means of grace that keep you secure in your saving faith until the end, and keeps the church of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ, safe and sound. But the psalmist also writes and declares a second certainty, the final conflict that will bring perfect peace at the end of time. As we gather this morning, nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. Will this be the day that he lifts his voice and the earth melts? You and I cannot waver in our assurance that the end of all time will soon be here. That very soon, for our sake and the sake of all the elect, God will bring this world and the universe to an end. God will help his church, the psalm writer says, at the break of day. And this is a Hebrew idiom that indicates that the length of the evening, the night, is really short, and it's only temporary. So you and I are looking forward to the break of day of eternity. And this darkness, these conflicts, this difficulty in which you and I live, it's short. And it's only temporary. Because the brightness and the daylight of our salvation is approaching. The church has endured false teachers and false teachings for many centuries. The church has always seen people who gather around them teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. It's been true for 500 plus years since the start of the Reformation. The church will continue to be safe in the midst of that for the few short days that we have left. When the day of God approaches, when the day of Christ appears, we will be safe in judgment. One of the questions in the instruction manual that I'm using now in Bible information class on end times asks the question, why shouldn't we fear the final judgment? And then after a series of passages, the answer is this. We have nothing to fear, for Christ has given eternal life to those who believe in Him. The believer, when Christ returns and the world is destroyed, is like the wise person who listens to good advice and stands in a doorway in an earthquake, because that's the safest and the best place to be. And when the rest of the building is all falling down around you, you will be safe and secure standing under that arch, one of the strongest things that there is in engineering. You and I stand under that overarching truth of the forgiveness of all of our sins and eternal salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ. The perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us all of our sins. And so there's nothing to fear when this takes place. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. When our Lord Jesus returns, that's going to be the end of warfare among men. It's going to be the perfect fulfillment of the end of warfare that has ceased between us and God, that has already taken place, but will be perfect in heaven. We have that perfect peace by grace alone, by faith alone, by Scripture alone. With the same command that Jesus used to quiet the winds and the waves on the Sea of Galilee, be still, He commands through the psalm writer, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. For the unbeliever, those words, be still, means close your mouths and quit opposing me and fooling yourself with the idea that you're going to win. Because in the end, I'm going to stand on this earth and those who believe in me will go to heaven. But for the believer, those words, be still, means there's no need for fear, worrying. There's no need for shaking and trembling, because our God is always present with us. We know that He is God, and even now He's exalted on the earth in the gospel. The church still is militant. We're still fighting our enemies, but they've already been defeated. And one day we will experience fully the fact that we will be the church triumphant. But in the meantime, no earthly government, no human ecclesiastical powers can enslave our hearts or bury the Word of God or stop the Church of Jesus Christ from going about its work. Jesus' promise will stand. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And for us, the truth applies. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen.